Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Talk Shonen. I am Jared.
That's right, he's Jared.
And he is the Turtles.
That's right.
More than one turtle.
I'm literally a bunch of turtles in a raincoat.
That's exactly, just Little Rascal style.
Just a couple of them in a raincoat with nunchucks and pizza.
Yep, like, you gotta be. Turtles eat pizza. It's the number one dietary
That's what I learned
thing.
growing up from watching Ninja Turtles cartoons. They love pizza.
I just got my daughter into Ninja Turtles.
Awesome.
She thought she wasn't going to like it, and she loves it now, so I'm like, yes, finally.
Proved her wrong.
Yeah, yep. But today, speaking of proving wrong, we're going to be talking about The Legend of Vox Machina. I finally got Turtle to watch something Critical Role.
Do we have to call it the whole name? Like the whole? I've been calling it Vox Machina the whole time.
I mean,
The Legend of Vox Machina sounds like a very Scanlan thing to do.
It is.
Just constantly declare the entirety of the title.
Yeah. It is a very Scanlan thing to do, and you have to do it because it is the legend of Vox Machina.
So I want to be very clear for our listeners. I do not like Critical Role. I like Matt Mercer. I like some of the clips I've seen, but I don't find it very interesting. And I love D&D podcast kind of, you know, game shows.
Yeah.
I love Dimension 20, a couple other ones that are really good. Roll20 does a few with like charity stuff.
Yeah.
That were really good.
Mm-hmm.
I just could never get into Critical Role.
It's probably because, like, if you're going to be comparing Dungeon Master styles, like, Matt Mercer's Dungeon Master style is a lot more like Stephen King.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, the environment and everything is... There's a lot more emphasis on what's around you and what's happening.
Yeah.
So there... And he also goes more for, like, a Tolkien-esque kind of, like, high fantasy.
That seems pretty accurate from the parts I have managed to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He does have, it's the exact kind of, like, I don't like reading The Lord of the Rings for that exact reason. Like, it's the kind of atmosphere building that I don't really care about. You give me, like, a forest, my brain builds a forest, you start adding in details, I lose track. I don't care anymore.
You're like, oh, shit, I gotta look up what that adjective means.
Yeah, exactly. It just fades out for me.
Yeah.
The stuff I really like is like Brennan Lee Mulligan. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brennan Lee Mulligan, who, if he ever hears this, please, I love
please
you.
Please come on the show.
Yeah, you're the best.
It would be a high point of our lives.
Yeah, oh my God. He's by far the favorite Dungeon Master I've ever watched or heard or whatever.
He's by far the most entertaining.
Yes.
And I think that's why it works so well in like a streaming kind of platform, because he is the most entertaining Dungeon Master that I've ever seen.
The only person I've watched DM that's come close is Abria
Iyengar.
Yeah, Abria Iyengar, who's amazing. And when she runs for Brennan, doubly so. Like,
well, her whole, the thing that she was running, the Misfits and Magic, thing was just amazing. So much fun.
Did you watch the holiday special?
No, I didn't. I saw that she was DMing again. I have to do it. But I started watching the sci-fi one now.
Yeah, so that's why I'm going to watch the next. It came out last night.
Okay.
I'll be watching it tonight, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so she also did for Roll20 on YouTube, just a YouTube channel. They did like a charity drive with her running a magic system similar to Misfits and Magic.
Mm-hmm.
However, and also has Brennan playing.
Okay, yeah.
And it's really good.
And then she DM'd for Critical Role, actually.
Did she?
She did Exandria Unlimited.
Okay.
Which is, it was kind of like it was like a half season.
Yeah.
In between Campaign 2 and Campaign 3.
Yeah.
And actually, three of the characters from Exandria Unlimited are the characters in Campaign 3 of Critical Role now.
See, I might watch some of that then.
Yeah.
I love her as a DM.
She's fun also. She doesn't take herself too seriously, and she also loves giving people stuff.
Well, that's the thing is, She inspired the latest campaign I ran for my friends. We did for a LOLs campaign. Just literally, I was like, told them, I'm not going to be rules lawyering. It's if you want to try something fun, let me know.
Yeah.
You know, the goal was
inspiration aplenty.
Yeah, inspiration and luck points. And we did this whole concept and we did big criticals and, you know, big failures. And and also was like, look, if, you know, the goal is that you guys are
having fun.
Unstoppable tanks. Like, it's supposed to be like a fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're the big things going on. Yeah. And that was a really fun campaign. That was inspired by her styling of like.
Yeah. Where she's just like, you know what? Yeah, I would love absolutely. To see that happen.
And some of the best moments came from that campaign because it was stuff that like, hey, I know this spell says this, but could I use it for this roleplay moment? I'm like, hell yeah, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, that just like really worked out, made it a lot of fun for, I mean, just absolutely ridiculous campaign.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I think you would probably like Critical Role Campaign 2 more than you would like Campaign 1. Because Campaign 1 was a lot more like standard high fantasy. Like it was like the characters, as you have seen now after watching Legends of Vox Machina, they're a lot more like archetypal kind of characters where it's like, you know, your standard, you know, fantasy heroes. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing because they are legitimate just fantasy heroes and they really embody that. But the second campaign is a lot more interesting. They went with like these really kind of flawed characters.
Okay.
And Matt's, you know, he was, you know, at that point he had already done 300 plus hours.
Yeah.
Or 200 plus hours of streaming.
Yeah.
So he was a lot more comfortable.
Okay.
So he would, you know, they would be like, they started using a lot more homebrewed kind of things. He started, you know, they were like,
he got comfortable with the systems and everything.
Yeah. And also they would say things like, you know, normally this class doesn't have this spell, but it makes sense that you would be able to do it because look at your backstory, look at everything that you can do.
So that's something I might check out Campaign 2.
Campaign 2. And I think Campaign 3 is kind of shipping out to be the same way.
Okay.
Very colorful cast.
I should put out there, I love Matt Mercer, especially as a player.
He's incredible.
Bloodkeep. I laughed so hard.
Yeah.
He was... Him and Brennan running and him, I'd love to see a campaign. I was talking about this the other day.
Where it's like dual GM?
I'd love to see a campaign where it's Abria. Abria?
Oh, yeah. Abria.
Abria.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's fine. It's double A's.
Abria. Yeah. Where it's Abria running for Brennan and Matt.
Oh, my God. That would be
And then like
bonkers.
Maybe like Zach, because Zach
is another great one. Yeah.
You know, whoever you want to throw in. Any of their crews are like. But if you did like a critical
role. You
got to
have Laura
plus,
Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Laura Bailey is so amazing.
Or even like Emily Axford or someone like this.
Yeah.
Really awesome players. But if you like did like a mishmash of like their crews.
Yeah.
And then you had like Matt and Brennan as like.
Mm-hmm.
Even like, oh, my God. Can you imagine them playing like rivals?
That would be
in
great.
The party. It'd be
that would,
amazing.
That would
It'd
be so great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then Abria.
Just kind of letting them do whatever whatever
just
they want.
Whatever, campaign. Yeah. It was that would be absolutely stupendous.
Yeah. I would honestly love to see that. But let's circle back.
Talk about Vox Machina.
Okay. So now for me, as like a longtime Critical Role fan, because I haven't followed them since the beginning.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was new to Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show before.
I have followed them for years. Mm-hmm. Like many, many years.
Yeah.
So when they first announced the Kickstarter, I was like, I watched that live. Like, I watched them announce that live.
Oh, that's cool.
And I followed the whole arc of like
I noticed
them
you
breaking
didn't say
records.
That you chipped in, Jared.
No, because Jared is historically poor.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, that's fair.
Historically,
it's like, do I want to chip in for this Kickstarter that may never happen or eat?
Well, I mean, I knew that it was going to happen, but it really was. Like, also, I did consider it. Like, I went on, and then I started looking at some of the, like, the tiers and what you got, and then I got, like buyer's fatigue.
Yeah.
And I started going, well, I want that.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't afford that. But I really want that. Should I just do that?
I've been there.
I've gone back and forth like that.
I've looked at Kickstarters related to some really nerdy shit where I've been like, can I justify $1,500 for a walk-on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some... And usually, I mean, always, I've never done it. The answer is no.
Yeah, that's what it always falls down to.
But when you're looking at like a... Hey, you get to sit in the DeLorean or some other whatever.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I'm picking
you're like, do I want to spend $2,000 to be able to get a flight to California, hang out with some of my heroes and wear costumes from my favorite movies?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like those thoughts happen. That buyer's fatigue is definitely there.
Yeah. So that was kind of where I was at with it. But when I saw, you know, I was watching it when it was supposed to be two episodes, because that's all it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Those first two episodes were going to be it.
Okay.
And also, it was going to be a different part of their home game.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a completely different thing. I think it was supposed to be like their, like how, because it originally started off as like a one shot.
Yeah.
And I think it was going to be that one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really going to focus on like how they came together. But then once they completely fucking obliterated what they were trying to raise, because they were like, we need like $70,000 to get these two episodes made. And if you raise a little bit more, maybe we'll make a third.
Yeah.
And they, people were like $2 million is what you need? You need $2 million? I'll give you $2 million, right?
Because we got $2.2 million
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, as soon as that happened...
See, I had no idea about that, so that's I didn't know about the Kickstarter or anything.
Mm-hmm. So it completely changed, like, how they were doing it. So they were like, okay, well, the...
Well, yeah, they had to launder the rest of the money somehow, so they needed to make a full series that they'd then get paid for also, but still pocket $1
million. Allegedly. But yeah, so, I mean, and then Amazon came in, and Amazon, you know, helped out also.
Yeah.
So it was crazy to just kind of see that. And as soon as they announced that they were going to be doing the Briarwood arc, I was like, this is the best thing that they could have done.
Yeah.
Because the Briarwood arc is the most incredible arc that I've seen. Like, once again, I've seen all of Critical Role.
Yeah.
But when I look back and I go... Man, what do I remember? There's just certain instances from that where it went from like being so like lighthearted and funny and like, look at these guys that just try to, you know,
Scanlan's prismatic you know, jockstrap or whatever.
Yeah, his that is actually a very lore friendly thing actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it was very, very lighthearted, and then it got to the Briarwood arc and then some shit happened.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ooh. Ooh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, this is a story.
Yeah.
And like, as it kept going on, like, you know, some good roles and some bad roles led to some really heavy shit happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, cannot wait to see what they do with this.
Okay.
So I'd say probably a good thing to start is, what do you think of the cast of this thing?
Okay. So Let's go with this. So once again, in case it wasn't clear to our listeners, all 60,000 of you, I know you're out there.
Yeah.
The army of you. Yeah, the army, the absolute mass of our listeners.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Critical Role going into this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen snippets on like TikTok and things like that.
Yeah.
Of like one line, you know, 10-second clips of no context to them. Something that could be funny.
Which makes it all the funnier.
Yeah, something that's like a funny line, okay? And I've never really gotten into it. I tried watching an episode and totally fell asleep, passed out, couldn't.
Yeah.
So this episode, I went in cold with no expectations for characters, no expectations for story, none of that. And before knowledge, that I'm sure a lot of the fan play base really loved.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
It was... So now, my brother, who I watched it with, he... new Critical Role, has watched it. Not a big fan. He's not super into it either, so he only saw the first couple things into it.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew a couple of, like, there's a couple of things he picked up on, and then we talked about afterwards where he was like, the barbarian said the line that I'm sure everyone's excited about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where he's like, I would like to rage.
I would like to rage.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever it is. And that's, see, I'm sure that's a really big moment for Critical Role fans.
I lost my fucking mind when that happened.
I was like, that's a funny way to rage. I had no concept that was like a thing. So.
Yeah, that was his saying. Like every time, like literally for, I think it was like 142 episodes.
Yeah.
Every single time he raged, it was, I would like to rage. And that's what he would say. And he would either say it super angry, he would say it like really, really funny, be like, I would like to rage. He would go into that.
Yeah, so that guy, by the way, that I see a lot of clips with him. He's
Travis
funny.
Willingham?
Yeah.
Travis Willingham is, hilariously, did not play D&D ever really.
Really?
Before Critical Role.
Wow.
A lot of them,
well,
this was their
it.
First
really
time doing it.
Yeah.
Ashley Johnson never played it. Sam Riegel never played it.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Travis
too.
Willingham
did
never
he,
played
did
it.
Did Sam Riegel make up those songs for, he does Scanlan, right?
Yeah.
Did he make up those songs, Scanlan singing? Like,
yeah.
I've seen some stuff with him where it's like he starts singing and doing something on the pod, on the Critical
Role. Like on the actual live stream.
And I'm like, so we're watching, I'm like, I bet you this is something he fucking whipped up.
Yeah.
For the like,
that's exactly it.
Oh, he's really good.
Yeah, he used to improvise.
I've seen him. You know why I know him? This is why I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him and Matt Mercer on Smosh.
Oh, yeah.
They did
yeah,
try not to laugh yeah. and stuff like that. So,
yep. yep
and
yep.
he's funny.
Yeah, he is. He, hilariously enough, he came into it knowing the least about Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. And even though he's a voice actor and did like Yugi's voice and shit like that.
Yeah.
He's
Yugi's
not very
voice.
Yeah. He's Yugi's Shut voice actor. Fuck. Yeah.
Really?
When I say that this is like a star studded cast yeah. of just voice actors, this
I knew
is the
what's
most
her face
star-studded.
Did Gretchen and had the deleted
Ashley Johnson,
yeah. and had the deleted scene from Avengers that never made it in. And
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, also on top of that, she's, you know, she's the voice of the main character in The Last of Us. She's,
yeah,
she's
oh, yeah,
just,
that's right.
She's just in she's a bunch a, of like TV shows
amazing,
and stuff like that.
Yeah. Voice actress.
Yeah. When they did the first campaign and also most of the second campaign, mm-hmm. she would like, her character had to disappear for a while.
Yeah.
And they had to like work it into the story.
Yeah.
Because she was filming Blindside at the time.
Oh, okay.
So she'd have to go away for a while and come back. And yeah. like, there's scenes of that show mm-hmm. where she's holding a critical role cup
yeah
and she would just be drinking out of it and she would have like Dungeons and Dragons on the back of her notebook
yeah
where they kept trying to like throw nods and she would just
That's
sneak
funny.
Those things in
yeah
but yeah like this is the most probably one of the most talented mm-hmm. groups of voice actors that yeah. are out there
yeah
these are some of the best improvisers mm-hmm. where they and they're a long time group of friends
yeah
that just feed off of each other and you know you have
and
multiple
you
people
that
are married yeah. on this show like
you get that They have those vibes, those like companion
yeah.
vibes.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, most of this stuff was recorded live. Like they mm-hmm. were in a booth together, and they were just
yeah.
still kind of like riffing off of each other, even though they had the script.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it definitely helped because this was a you know this was an improvised show.
Yeah.
That now they had a script for, but the voice actors and the were the producers.
Yeah.
Like these are the these
so they
are also
be like,
the
I want
characters.
It to be like this, yeah.
Yeah, like very rarely are you going to be a voice actor for a show and be like, "Well, I have been this character
mm-hmm.
for like 300 like, hours.
This line I'm supposed to read, I made it."
Yeah, exactly. Like you knew exactly what you were feeling in mm-hmm. that moment. You're so yeah. you know the best way to like mm-hmm. kind of
exactly
recreate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and on top of that though, the supporting cast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know all the people that they got for the supporting cast.
So I know for a fact that David Tennant did the general, and that
yes.
as soon as I heard him speak, I was like, "Shut up!"
Yeah,
he's
I lost
so
my mind
good.
When they
yeah.
announced that.
Mm-hmm.
But also Stephanie Beatrice is Lady Kima, which is the dwarven paladin.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Where she's like, "Who the hell are these guys?"
Yeah,
that's Stephanie Beatrice. So
wow.
that's Mirabelle from Encanto right there.
No,
yeah. Yeah, Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is in there also.
Yeah,
so she's there. They have Lady Allura,
mm-hmm.
Vysorin, the blonde lady that was there that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
Very proper.
Yeah.
If you watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
What's his name? Pedro Pascal's, like wife
yeah.
in that show.
Okay.
She's doing the voice of Lady Allura. There, this is a heavy hitting
yeah.
group of really
See, clearly
talented
this
actors.
Is yeah a pretty high tier
yeah yeah and I love all the performances yeah. so far it's so good
so can good. I want to tell you something quick
this go for is it
unrelated kind of
okay
you anyway. Mentioned Pedro Pascal so it's a yeah. it's nerdy though
okay
I haven't seen Book of Boba yet
oh yeah you're waiting
yeah I'm waiting and I've seen some spoiler, like vague spoiler stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that Mando is in it, clearly, because as soon as he showed up, there was all over the internet.
The internet exploded, yeah.
And then I saw a really funny meme today, because apparently episode 6 also features Mando heavily. And so...
Episode 6 features a lot
yeah,
of cameos.
Yeah, I heard there was a bunch of cameos. But,
heavily.
But
I'm not going to ruin it for anybody.
The meme that I saw that I thought was hilarious was
mm-hmm.
this week on Book of Boba, a cameo... by Boba Fett.
Yeah. It like, kind of has it has kind of developed to that point.
Yeah.
But like I said this, I was just on You Have to See This Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we briefly talked about it. And one of the things that I said was I feel like the Book of Boba, it kind of needed an outside perspective on everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, there's only so much you can do for a war.
Yeah.
And that's what it's kind of building up to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they needed that outside perspective of mm-hmm. the galaxy at large.
Yeah.
To really give stakes and reasons why mm-hmm. people were doing what they were doing. Yeah. So it makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, he's definitely very absent mm-hmm. in a lot of his show.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Moving on. Back to Vox Machina.
Yeah. So this is definitely, and I guess from here on out, we're going to say like spoilers.
Yeah.
Everything else was just, you know, basic.
Oh, there's something I want to comment on because mm-hmm. I don't have any of that future knowledge of characters.
Yes. Go for it. this is actually cool for me because I have.
I know,
all the
I know you have all of
it. But
I thought these. I thought up things that would be interesting to talk about.
Yeah, go for it. Shoot.
I'm not a huge fan of some of them. Now I'm not saying I hate them, but like, okay, I know
who are you not liking so far?
What's his name? Percy.
Percy.
Yeah. So I don't dislike him. Mm-hmm. I think he's boring. I get the backstory. I have the vaguest feeling that it's going to improve.
Yes.
But I don't have any knowledge that it's going to improve.
I will tell you, Percy is one of my favorite characters.
Okay, so he's definitely... Well, and
you
know
have
what,
to take into account who I am.
I was going to say, that doesn't surprise me because he's very edgelord.
Do you know...
Traditional...
Since I said spoilers, I will say, so that scene at the end...
Yeah.
Where he blows off the fingers of the chauffeur and is going to just straight up murder the guy and the whole your soul is forfeit, which was technically in another episode, but they made it work where it was.
Yeah.
That whole thing, it coined the phrase no mercy Percy.
Okay.
So every time he takes that plague doctor mask and puts it on in that black smoke, which you'll learn more about all of that as it goes on.
So he's a gunslinger, right?
Yes, he's Matt Mercer's homebrewed gunslinger class.
Okay,
so he's a fighter.
So I know of the homebrewed gunslinger class because I had a friend who's also an edgelord who loves Matt Mercer's homebrewed gunslinger class and wanted to play it. So we ran it in one of our.
It's a solid class.
I mean, it works. Yeah,
it can feel very overpowered in the wrong campaign.
Yeah, so. It depends on the campaign. In the show, at least, I feel like he's kind of underpowered right now.
Yeah, it's because of the fact that Taliesin had an issue. He had a dice that was referred to as the Golden Snitch.
Okay,
it rolled more 20s. Than any other dice.
Okay.
But it also rolled a shit ton of ones.
Yeah.
And for the gunslinger class, as you know, you roll a one, it's a misfire.
Yeah.
Which completely fucks you.
Which I did witness in the show quite a few times.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
So Taliesin just had a really...
It was an all or nothing.
Yeah, it was this knack of being like, I just did 200 points of damage because I critted on every single thing. Or... That gun's broken. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Next gun. That gun's broken. Yeah. Fuck. So that would happen to him quite frequently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. And they did show that in the show, which was good. I you know what's funny about that is not knowing that about the dice, I just thought, man, this guy's a shitty gunslinger. Like he's constantly misfiring. Like maybe you should clean him once in a while, dude.
Well, he's the inventor of it. That's actually a little bit of lore. I'll let you know that.
Okay.
So the lore is
And all of our listeners.
And all of our listeners.
All 60,000.
Yes. Yeah, all 60,000 of you. The multitudes out
there. The multitudes. The plethora of listeners.
Since this was coming over from Pathfinder, and I guess in Pathfinder, guns are a little bit more prevalent than in Dungeons & Dragons.
They were in Pathfinder,
What they had to do to make it make sense was they made it that Percy is the inventor of guns in the world of Exandria.
Okay.
And how he came up with it was a dream.
Okay.
Which plays into his backstory a lot more then. So that's the reason why it's like, well, why doesn't he just blah, 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 blah? Because nobody else knows how to do it.
There's no foreknowledge to work off of.
So he is a very skilled inventor and invents a lot of really cool things.
Yeah.
Like I hope that they bring it in, but he gets this cool thing and he programs it to work where he says manners. And in his very posh English accent, it's great because it ties the person up and it gags them. So anytime BDSM stuff. But it was just very funny to anytime somebody was fucking up.
Why you like him more and more?
He's a great character.
Yeah, he's
man.
A great character a who's character. An edgelord with guns and a no mercy Percy mode.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's
he's
like
into
a berserker
BDSM.
Mode himself. Yeah, but it was just great him to just be like manners, and then it would and just latch onto somebody. It was great.
So like I said, I'm.
So Percy,
so far, we're
Percy
only, what,
feels a little weaker in the beginning.
Three episodes?
Only three.
Yeah. In the beginning, that's like I said, no knowledge coming forward.
Yeah.
His character's weaker. I didn't see it. I mean, every instance of him was kind of not impressive.
Gotcha.
The coolest moment with him was at the end of episode three with the fingers.
It was no mercy Percy.
Yeah. And it came so far out of left field for me that I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Now, that could totally change as we progress through
the series. You'll totally understand more like why he is like
that. And I get some vibes from the show, gave you know, like some of the background of the vampire lords. That's definitely not Strahd. it's definitely not Strahd.
Definitely not Strahd, but the Briarwoods are...
The Briarwoods,
They are kind of like their own version of Strahd.
Yeah, they're like Strahd, but without the demiplane.
Yeah, exactly.
But so that's... He was the weakest, I thought, of the characters.
Okay. Is there anybody else that you're kind of on the fence about?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the twins are interesting, but they're only interesting together. I find them individually boring.
Okay. They are more archetypal.
Yes, this is the other thing too, is I'm so used to very non-archetypal campaigns and characters that watching the beginnings of very classic traditional D&D archetypes is like, yes, okay, now the ranger shoots the arrow, and okay, and then now the rogue is sneaky and throws a knife. Very interesting.
I will say they definitely get better as they get stronger.
And I'm sure that's the case. And, you know, this Critical Role isn't the critical success it is because
they made shit.
They made bad characters that never progressed.
Yeah, but I will say Vax is another one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He's also one of the saddest things. Like, his whole character arc from start to finish is one of the saddest things ever.
I didn't start liking him till the silver coin with the boy and the dragon thing. That's when I was like, oh, they did give them depth.
He kind of is learning humanity, which becomes actually like a really big part of his character. Yeah. He's a character that feels very deeply for what he cares about.
Yeah.
It's just currently he doesn't fucking care about anything where they are in the story. Wow. And he's slowly learning to care about the people around him and, you know, maybe care about the country as a whole and humanity and, you know, or the humanoid races, I should say. He's slowly learning to, like, let more things in because of all of the trauma in their past.
Yeah.
And Vex is a funny character because she's the only character whose alignment changed in the first campaign.
Yeah.
Because she kept doing greedy, like, Laura played her character very greedy.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, I really love money.
Yeah.
And she's like, I also really love cool shit. Mm-hmm. Like, she wanted things to fly.
Yeah.
For, like, the whole campaign.
Yeah.
And at the moment that something came there, it was like, oh, well, you got to do this thing and save this person. She's like, but really quick, I'm going to grab the thing that flies that he kind of relies on for everything.
Oh, my God.
And then at the end of that episode, Matt's like, hey, Laura, can you really quick change your alignment from chaotic good to chaotic neutral? And she's like, why? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe because your first instinct has been, I'm going to steal that for myself and lie about it.
Yeah.
So she's a very fun character.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, they definitely are better together. Mm-hmm. And their scenes where they're together are going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting take on, like, a sibling relationship where it literally is, because these are two siblings that have only had each other.
Yeah.
Like, literally only had each other for their whole lives. So they have a very, very close bond. And it I feel like they do it really well in the stream. Yeah. So I really look forward to some of the things that they're going to do going forward in the show.
Like I said, their dynamic is pretty good.
Yeah. What do you think about Keyleth?
That's the
redhead.
The redhead.
The druid.
The druid.
Yes.
She had some interesting moments.
Mm-hmm.
She was not... I think she was more interesting than the people I've mentioned I didn't like.
Yeah.
But not more interesting than Scanlan or...
no one's more interesting than Scanlan.
Yeah. And by the way, Scanlan, I feel, at least at this point, is the least useful party member, but the most interesting party member.
He continues that for a while.
Yeah.
And that it's actually kind of a bit of a conflict within himself, where when he's comparing himself to these people that are like gods at what they do, he does have kind of an inferiority complex. Yeah. He's like, I just sing songs and you guys fucking, you know, go off and do whatever you're going to do. And I will say he has, if they do this ever in the show, he has a part that is, it was emotionally crippling to people watching it. Like,
wow.
Devastated. Yeah. And it involved him.
Yeah.
So if they ever get to that part, I will probably warn you ahead of time.
Yeah.
Be like, get some fucking tissues.
Yeah.
Because it was really, really heavy. But at the same point, he is the most charismatic fucking person.
Yeah.
I think any universe of D&D.
The level of, like, traditional. Like, here's the thing. I was talking about this with my brother also.
Mm-hmm.
None of my friends and I have ever played the traditional bard that
Like had to everything. like had to fuck everything yeah. and no, had to yeah, sing no songs.
None of us have really played the seduce them all bard.
Yeah.
So I know it's the trope, but I was like, yeah, but whatever. Watching it be played out and be played out well has been very entertaining for me because it's not something I really see.
Yeah.
All of our bards have been, although none of us really play archetypical characters. Mm-hmm. So all of our bards have been different, interesting in other ways.
Yeah.
Bardic in other ways. You know, we've had lots of interesting bards.
Yeah.
None of them were the I'm going to bone the dragon bard.
Exactly. I'm gonna if it moves, I'm gonna have sex with it.
Yeah.
And also I'm gonna sing a song. Have you done a lot of sing songy bards?
No. We've done a lot of bards that do like instruments, whistling, dancing.
Okay.
We've done fire spinning. We've done like lots of performances.
Have you made your people actually do it?
We've made them do like I've done whistling bards.
Okay.
I've done a singing bard, but not
because that's the thing with Sam. Sam actually started in theater.
Yeah.
And he was in like musicals.
Yeah.
Like as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So like he is very musical.
Yeah.
And on the stream, he would take popular songs and remix it.
Yeah.
For whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
So like, and a lot of the music he wrote. Like,
yeah.
So that's just straight up Sam being Sam. And some of the music in this that he does is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, what I've heard is hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. I will say the reason why I mentioned Keyleth is because in the stream, she was the least popular character.
Really?
She was the most hated character, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better way of putting it. The Critical Role fans at large hated Keyleth.
Really?
I did not hate Keyleth. Because I understood what her backstory was trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is a very naive kid.
Yeah.
Trying to grow into a role of a leader
that
she doesn't even think she should be.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of insecurities about that she's trying to overcome.
Yeah.
And I think that the show is capturing that well without, like, harking on, like, she's super insecure all the time.
I didn't even get those vibes when I watched it. So maybe that's...
Like, she definitely is insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before she does things, she does have, like, this moment of doubting herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when something goes wrong, she was like, did I fuck this up?
Mm-hmm.
Which I do like the fact that they didn't censor anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like this show would have failed if they try to make it family-friendly. You know,
that's the other thing. Yeah, I really enjoyed that they just went, this is what they said. Like,
yeah. What are your thoughts on how adult it is?
I thought it was reasonably adult. I didn't think it was like over the top. It didn't feel like they were going for like the shock and awe adult.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like a campaign I've played in. Like it felt like, you know, like it's this is what my character would say. Oh shit, a dragon. Like that's you know, that's
a fucking dragon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything felt appropriate to what I would expect from adventurers in that situation.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I was
someone gives a heroic, you know, rousing speech, and everyone's like, no.
Yeah, the dude at the camp where the general gives his speech, the general dragon, gives his speech, and the guy's like, nope.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like I mean, especially how it like began, where it's just like there's these brave adventurers,
they're the
only ones that can save the earth, and then they get systematically slaughtered with
absolutely
15
murdered.
Seconds.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was, I feel like that set the tone for what it was going to be like.
I started it with no expectations. I was like, I don't know. I don't care about Critical Role. I went in it. I started it before I knew what episode one was done. I was like, yep, that's good. And James and my brother and I were like, next one, please. And like, just kept going.
It's like, you kind of have to keep watching it. You're like, I really, really, really need to know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And I will say, it just picks up from here.
I mean, if this is like how it starts and if the campaign gets better, then I'm pretty excited for it.
I will say, as a fan of Critical Role, there were some Easter eggs in the first three episodes that I was like, are you fucking kidding me that they're setting this up already?
Yeah.
Because the Legend of Vox Machina is, well, like the stream is broken up into, I think, like 6 or 7 arcs.
Okay.
With the Briarwood arc being, you know, one of the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just say something that I noticed that was set up. There was one thing in particular.
Okay.
That was set up. That is huge to any of the stream fans, but you probably looked at it went, that's Dungeons and Dragons shit.
Yeah.
Is the Chroma Conclave, which I mentioned to you in passing, I think maybe on the show.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Maybe not, but it is a humongous part of it in an amazing thing. So I feel like if, when, I'm going to say when this gets picked up for another season.
Yeah.
It's going to be Chroma Conclave. I mean, if,
there's no way it's not going to. It's already got so much hype around the first three episodes.
Yeah.
Like, there's things where I'm like, I don't know if it's going to get picked up because of whatever. There's a, there's something like, I'm trying to, DC. DC did a new show. I only saw because I was browsing stuff the other day. It's called Pennyworth.
Okay.
It's about Alfred.
It's about Alfred.
Have you heard about it?
I have not.
Yeah, me either. I'm in
Good?
I don't know. I'm in all of the comic TikToks and show and nerd stuff.
And no one's talking about
it. I've heard not a single word about it. And HBO Max is like, this is the talk of the town, top rated show. And I'm like, I highly doubt
what town?
That.
Yeah,
are
you listening
to? And all I could see, all I could think was, I doubt it.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think so. That being said, I'm not even on the, like, I wasn't even on Amazon. I didn't get Vox Machina, you know, shown to me.
Yeah.
I heard about it through the grapevine, through a million different things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's, it's that is the indicator there of like, this is good. This is popular.
Well, there has also been kind of like a call to arms within the community where they're like, look, this got an amazing amount of traction.
Yeah.
It broke a bunch of records. Everyone is loving it. They're like, pretty much the general consensus is like these first three episodes, people have given it like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I completely agree on board with. I'm like 9.3, 9.4 for me. So, you know, that is the general consensus. But they're like, shows have been good and been popular and not picked up for a second season.
Yeah.
They're like, and there's been a call to arms for people. They're like, just watch it. Just keep just watching it. Just keep watching it over and over and over and over again.
Views.
Because they're like, I think they said like 20 billion hours or something like that. They're like, that's what these studios need to see.
Yeah.
To go, okay, maybe we don't have to, you know, maybe Dungeons and Dragons, maybe fantasy is a redeemable genre, because in all actuality, it hasn't. Like, every time they do something that's fantasy, it always falls flat.
Yeah.
And also, maybe that, you know, maybe it'll get studios looking at it and going, okay, Dungeons and Dragons and fantasy is a really good IP that we should maybe start pulling from.
Yeah.
And also, maybe we should just let the fan base dictate what the fuck happens, because maybe they do know what they want to see.
Yeah.
And if this succeeds in the way that people are hoping it succeeds, it's going to hopefully open the door for more creative storytelling in this same way, which is just going to make everything so much better.
God, I'd love more fantasy game based media.
Yeah.
Matt and I, Matt from Dark Run Podcast. Actually, he's been on here too.
Yes, he has. Yeah. He has. He has been on here.
He and I were talking about World of Darkness on the way here, and some of the game settings for World of Darkness, and like mage and werewolf and vampire and all these things, they're amazing. And you could do some really killer media with I'm sure there's campaigns and story arcs out there that are amazing.
Guaranteed.
Or someone that just really likes them could make something out of it that would be hella entertaining.
Yeah.
Or even something mainstream like Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah.
I'd love
to see it well done.
Yeah, well done one.
Because,
well,
I mean, they've tried to do that stuff are not so great. That aren't great, yeah.
But a lot of the ones that have been weren't really passion projects. So you can also tell the difference between like someone that knows the game and likes it or loves it, and someone that's just like, this is a kind of popular franchise and we're going to turn it into a serialized cartoon. And
you're
like, yeah, okay, I can see what you're going for here, but it's not
here. Yeah, if a show doesn't have heart, it comes out.
Yeah.
I will say, what did you think about the show?
Will you say it? You said I will say like 30 times.
Yeah, I will say.
I will say.
We'll say.
Do you know what I mean? I do say. I say. Do you know what I mean? A lot. That's
we have our phrases.
Yeah, that's mine. My wife makes fun of me for, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, what did you think about how, like, the mechanics of D&D were kind of shown in the show? Because I feel like they definitely were shown.
I think they did it really well. They make a point of giving them, like, you don't have like a turn by turn, okay, here's initiative. But you do get like, okay, he does his rage. They're doing this spell. They're talking about, you know, what they can do and these different things.
Yeah.
And like, you know, she, what's the dwarf's name? The gnome?
The gnome is Pike. Yeah.
Pike like does like Shield of Faith and like
yeah.
stuff like that that like just mm-hmm. it makes sense. And like I'm watching it knowing most of these spells and abilities going, yeah. oh, that's cool. That's cool that they did like that. And
I think another cool thing was her trying to cast Cure Wounds again.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
When and she didn't have a spell slot.
And she's like, I just don't have it in me. And it's like, yeah, because she's out of spell slots. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
It made sense to me. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Yeah. I really liked it.
Yeah. Or like Percy's, you know, guns failing.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, that was
so,
a one.
So that's funny in that. And I never, so that one slipped by me mm-hmm. for them rolling badly.
Yeah.
That one just didn't even cross my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But like the spell slot thing, that was, I was like, okay, here's the,
yeah,
that's the definitive nod to like
mm-hmm.
D&D mechanics and the rage, which I liked. And a bunch of the other stuff was just, it was just really good. It was, I think it was really well done.
I will say something that you probably didn't notice, that you would only notice as a watcher of the mm-hmm. show. Is that scene where Vax has been paralyzed, the cold person is uh-huh. on him, and he's just stuck there.
Yeah.
And until he, you know, until Silas bites him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's almost one for one. I mean, aside from like how things kind of went down in that
yeah.
room.
Yeah.
Because they were originally in the room already. He was just trying to sneak in and they immediately were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
yeah. And then he was like, oh, I'm a guard. I thought I heard something. But, you know, I like how they did it where it was him literally just being sneaky and, like, looking at everything and yeah. doing all this stuff. And then just being, you know, it's yeah. some fucking vampires immediately were like, yeah. you're in our room and we know
Strahd
you're there.
Strahd steps in the door. And
exactly.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, Silas.
I
yeah.
will call him Strahd for it's probably fine. The entirety of the show. I said it. I did the same thing when I was watching it. I was talking to my brother. And I'm, like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, Strahd. And he was like, Silas. I'm like, yeah, yeah, Strahd.
Yeah, Strahd.
Like, that's just who it is. We yeah. all know.
Yeah, so when he had Hold Person cast mm-hmm. on him, in the stream, he failed the first roll against it.
Okay.
Okay, and then, of course, mm-hmm. you get to re-roll.
Mm-hmm.
So I love how they showed that mm-hmm. you know, yeah, he was stuck.
Yeah.
But then he finally was able to,
out, yeah.
to do that. So it was another mechanical thing from the stream that yeah. I think was shown really, really well. And I yeah. think the timing of it with the bite yeah. kind of made it seem like he might have snapped out of it. But that delay yeah. really shows that he just succeeded his role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I already know what you're going to say. We kind of glazed over, but
mm-hmm.
out of 10, what do you think so far?
I honestly, it's like a 9.3, 9.4 for
okay.
me.
That's,
yep. It's not perfect because mm-hmm. there's definitely places where I think it can yeah. get better.
Yeah.
But I think especially for the the opening.
Yeah.
And like to get people hooked on it, I think they couldn't have asked for a better
okay.
way of doing it. Now, where do you fall? And this is, I really yeah. want to know.
So, having none of that foreknowledge, as we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a strong 7, 7.5.
Okay.
It was hard for me to stop watching it, and I was yeah. definitely disappointed when I was done with episode 3.
Yeah.
Like, disappointed like I didn't have more or not. Mm. It is very good. There's things I'm still wanting for.
Yeah.
That I don't have the knowledge on coming
and
up.
And I think it's because you don't have that yeah. connection to the characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, they still feel like flat characters
exactly.
to you.
They're still semi-hollow in a lot of respects for me.
Yeah.
But that being said, the art is fantastic. The story is
that's
amazing.
That's Titmouse, by the way. Titmouse, okay, amazing
yeah,
job.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just across the board, I thought it was very enjoyable. And I'm very excited to keep watching mm-hmm. it.
Which, of course, as we are recording this,
well, definitely,
tomorrow,
yeah.
there will be another episode. So, yeah. looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to do a weekly podcast update.
Yeah,
on.
we're not going to become the Vox Machina podcast.
Maybe every month we'll update with like
maybe
the next 4 episodes.
Maybe we'll do like what you felt about like once the season is done.
Yeah,
and like just, once it's finished out, mm-hmm. we'll revisit it
overall,
and see what you thought and what yeah. I thought and how it compares to the campaign.
I'm
and stuff.
Almost certain if I get it really into it, I'm going to bring up stuff on it though. This just,
yeah yeah
this will be, D&D will come up and I'll be like, hey, did you see in Vox Machina episode 7?
Yeah.
They did this and then Scanlan. He had the prismatic butt plug. I didn't think he could have any more.
All of his attunement slots are used for sexual items.
That's it.
Yep, that's what he does.
Speaking of D&D, before we finish up completely. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Strahd. So I was talking about how I was inspired to do the LOLs campaign by
Abria. Yeah, Abria. I got you.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but before that, we did a Curse of Strahd campaign.
Okay.
With a whole different group. And I've done Curse of Strahd before, too. And I love mm-hmm. Curse of Strahd. As a setting and a campaign, I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
We ended the LOLs campaign with them being level 25 demigods. they literally nuked the Court of Winter,
yeah.
like the Winter Court of the Fae.
Okay.
And
yeah.
took most of the Mantle of Power of Winter and ended. And by the way, the campaign took place in and outside of Mega City 1 with judges. Like, that's like, but all in a fantasy world. I'm trying to tell you, this campaign was meant to be bonkers and fun.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so, Doctor Who's in it because but he's not Doctor Who's, he's the engineer.
Oh, okay.
And he's the one that made the Warforged in this world.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Anyway. So the point is,
if you want to hear a turtle making, you know, releasing his crazy LOL thing,
yeah,
you know, let us know.
And so the Strahd campaign, got the idea from, I think, a Reddit post that was saying, it'd be fun to send high level characters into Barovia, like Strahd messed up and brought the wrong party in.
Okay. Yeah.
Or vice versa. These characters from this LOL's campaign now have Winter Fae in them. Mm-hmm. And Barovia does touch the Fae Plains as well.
Okay.
So I was like a one shot later on or something fun just for the shiggles.
It's just this
group of four level 25 unstoppable demi beings that just like are like
whoop the shit out of straw.
What's this little plane doing in our turf? And like. Yeah. Roll in on Strahd, like, oh, it's time to die.
Strahd's got to die.
Yeah, and just like, just straight up roll into Barovia as just an unstoppable force that even Strahd is like, what the hell is that?
Do what you got to do. You got to do another thing that's popular on TikTok right now, which is do Strahd without a Eastern European accent.
Oh yeah.
Just do them with like a southern accent.
I never do the Eastern European accent. I just can't do it.
Oh, okay.
You're more likely to get a Strahd for me that's like semi-Australian. And that's like, I have the worst. I can't do Eastern European, but I can do Scottish, Irish, Australian, a terrible French accent.
Can you do any good British accents?
I couldn't do British to save my life. I think I was gifted with an absolutely pristine Scottish accent. But and that murdered any of chance I have of, you know, British.
That's what it is. It's just it's the hatred of England for the, you know, by the Scots.
I'm not even Scottish or English, but there's something ingrained genetically.
You just got it. You got the Scottish so well that you picked up their hatred
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I've tried British and I just can't do it. And I have one of my best friends is British. He's one of the groomsmen in my wedding.
Yeah.
And you met him. You met him at my bachelor party. Don't say his name, but. He's
trying to remember a British guy.
He was wearing the Link armor.
Oh, okay, I did meet him. Okay,
And he's British, and I'm friends with some of his friends in England, and I have...
I thought he was doing a voice, so he's actually British.
No, he's actually British. Cool. Yeah. He's actually British. Yeah. And I still cannot do a British accent. But
even with his help?
Yeah, no, just not even.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's probably where we should end it. And sounds like I said, we're going to definitely revisit this at the end of the season. But, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep.
But the best place to find us is going to be our website.
I remembered. Wait, before you do this. I remembered where I saw that got the idea for it. It's because it's related to you.
It's related to me?
Yeah, I remember where I got the idea for the high-level characters roll in on Strahd.
Okay.
It's because I saw a meme, and it was a Moon Knight meme, where Moon Knight walks in and goes, come out, Dracula, you nerd. What's it that the Moon Knight be like? Come out, Dracula, you big fucking nerd. Where's my goddamn money? Yes. That Moon Knight meme?
Yeah.
That Moon Knight comic panel?
Yeah.
And it's like when your party leveled up too much and now you're just in Strahd's castle for the loot.
That's funny.
And I read it and thought of you, and that was the idea for the rolling the high level.
That's great.
Campaign.
That is awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Okay, sorry.
I'm glad I can help. Yeah. Turtle, why don't you let them know what our website is?
Hey, check us out on rumrunnerspodcastnetwork.com, where you can listen to all of our episodes of this show, all our other shows like Dark Rum, Rum Runners, our new stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out our other podcasts on the network, like the Chungus Cast.
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy.
Yeah. We got Senpai Kohai. You have to watch this podcast.
You have to watch this podcast. Yeah, I'm repeating to remember. Names are hard, man. Yeah,
it's going
to
be there forever. Now, if you want to get your podcast on our network, you can go to that site right at the bottom. There's a contact us form. You can let us know what your show is, and we will reach out to you and let you know what you got to do to become a member of the RRPN family. Of course, check out our partners over at Times Live Radio Studios, at Times Live Radio Studios on Facebook. Make sure to check out the Lehigh Valley Food Podcast, especially if you are in the Lehigh Valley and want to know where to eat.
Didn't you just do something with them, Jared?
Yes, we did. There's a show where we just filmed it at The Goat over in Stockertown.
Okay.
And there's going to be more coming up very shortly. By the time this releases, the Goat episode will be up, and we'll have another one in production.
So what's The Goat? I'm just... Spoiler reel. For teaser.
Spoiler reel, yeah. Teaser, so yeah. Little teaser.
What's The Goat?
The Goat is the... they do... It's a bar, but they have very, very good pizzas there.
Okay.
Detroit-style pizzas, mm-hmm. As well as some of the best onion rings that I've ever had in my life.
Really? Okay.
Luckily, as the crew, I got to have some of the food, and it was great.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're in the area, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Yeah. So that sounds good. The Goat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.
All right, everybody. Now you embrace your fandom.
And let your nerd flag fly.
Peace.
Peace.